present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, starring Richard Dreyer with John Glenn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, and Blake Butler. Episode 10, 1471, featuring this week's guest star, James Hayter.
Suggest, sir, you give up playing your little transistor radio in these chambers, sir, however beautiful the tone.
Thank you, Mr. Thursday. I'm sorry if I disturbed you. I was depressed. No briefs, you see. Very sorry, Annie.
Well, I didn't mind so much for myself. It's Mr. Grimes.
You don't think he heard it, did you?
I know he did.
Oh, Lord, I wonder if I would explain.
Well, there's no need for that, Mr. Thursday. He assumed it was someone working on a case.
A case? What sort of case?
Musical copyright, plagiarism, something of that sort.
Oh, I see, yeah. Oh, no, good luck.
Eric, be a good cat. See if you can find Boasted on agency for me, will you?
Right away,
sir. I'm sorry about the noise, Grimes.
Very pleased to know you got a case, my dear Thursby.
No, actually, Grimes, I was playing some music because I was...
I know, my dear fellow. Breach of copyright, isn't it? Musical plagiarism, tricky business, my dear fellow. How many bars did A steal from B? Or was it coincidence? Not at all easy, my dear fellow. These banana cases, you know.
These what?
Bananas, my dear Thursby. Yes, we have no bananas. It's a song, my dear fella. Yeah, popular in the 20s, a little before your time, I dare say.
Just a bit. But they did revive it a few years ago.
Oh, you know it?
More or less.
Oh, will you sing me the opening bar?
Now?
If you please, my dear fella.
Oh, well, it goes like this, doesn't it? Yes, we have no banana. We have no banana today.
Thank you. Excellent. You're in good voice today.
You've lost me, Grimes. What is it all about?
But it's a banana case, my dear fella. Hallelujah chorus and bring back me bonnie. Sing it.
Yes, we have no banana.
No, my dear fella, not that way. No, like this. Hallelujah, bananas will bring back my bonnie to me.
Lord, that really is clever.
Will you try?
Hallelujah, banana.
Oh, bring back my body to me.
Here you are, my dear fellow. You quote it in court, and you can use it to support any argument, so it doesn't matter which side you're on. Just sing them the song, my dear fellow. It'll stand you in good stead in a musical case.
But I haven't got a musical case, Grimes.
Well, you haven't? Well, what are you making that hideous row for, then?
I suppose you might call it therapy.
Well, I might, but I doubt it. See, you've got a lot of reading to do.
Yes, indeed, yes. Other people's briefs, Grimes. I've been trying to read them, and I can't concentrate.
Well, that's all, my dear fellow. You go feed the ducks.
What ducks?
Well, it doesn't matter what ducks. Ducks on the serpentine, ducks on the round pond. You go for a walk in the park, my dear fellow. A breath of fresh air is what you need. Clear the cobwebs. Go on, off you go, my dear fellow. Off.
Ready for another, Sally?
Not for me, thank you. Peter, you know what she was saying this morning about briefing counsel in that case before the registrar chief? Oh,
Sally, must we talk shop out of the office?
I was only going to say, what about offering it to Roger Thursby?
What about it?
Well, why not?
Well, I can think of one reason.
What's that?
Roger Thursby.
That's not fair, Peter. He may be a bit inexperienced, but he could cope with this one all right.
No, I suppose even Thursday couldn't do much damage with this one.
You will, then?
Have dinner with me on Friday.
Don't change the subject.
I'm not.
Oh, I see. All right, Peter. A dinner for a brief?
That's my girl. Things I do for Thursday.
Yes, Joy?
I think it's time we did something more for Roger Thursby.
I thought you did a good deal for him already.
Tom, you did some more for him, I mean.
Tell me, Joy, are you serious about this young man?
It depends what you mean by serious.
You know what I mean. Are you serious or are you just amusing yourself?
Yes.
Oh, then you should be very happy.
But, darling Uncle Elsie, how can I be happy when poor Roger's moping because he hasn't enough work?
All right, Joy, you always did get your own way with me, didn't you? I dare say I can find something for him.
Ain't you?
Nothing very exciting, I'm afraid.
It doesn't matter anything, just so darling Roger can go into court and feel important. I'll ring him up as soon as we've finished and tell him the good news.
I'll tell Mr. Percy you ran, Miss Benedict.
Thank you, Alec. And say, I'm sorry I missed him, but there's a brief marked Roger Thursby on its way.
You'll be glad to hear that, miss.
You're telling me. Goodbye, Alec.
Goodbye, miss. Well, well. Well, well, well. Mr. Kendall Grimes, chambers?
This is Moody and Sharp, solicitors.
Yes, Miss Mannering.
Oh, Alec, is that you? Or could I speak to Mr. Thursby?
Well, I'm afraid he's not here at the moment. Would I be right in thinking there's a brief marked Roger Thursby on its way from Moody and Sharp?
However did you guess?
I'll tell him as soon as he gets back from the park.
From where?
The park, Miss Mannering. He's feeding the ducks.
Hallelujah, banana.
Well, bring back my bunny to me. Right, that's a lot, you greedy brutes. Look, the bag's empty, can't you see? Go on, go up, go on. You go on playing ducks and drakers on it. Follow with you, fellas.
My bunny, my bunny. Excuse me, sir.
What?
Can you throw that bag away at your pillow, sir?
I beg your... Oh, it's you, Mr. Tewksbury.
Shh. What? Don't say my name is all out, sir, I beg you. Or the whole neighborhood will come here to consult me. I'm a solicitor, sir.
I know that, Mr. Tewksbury. Don't you remember me? Roger Thursby?
I take it you wish to consult me, sir.
Why should I?
You stopped to speak to me, sir.
You stopped me, Mr. Tewksbury?
Are you suggesting I threatened you in any way?
No, no. You just stopped me.
How did I do that, sir, pray?
You said, excuse me, sir.
Is there any objection to that?
Not at all.
It is courteous of a little old-fashioned. And why do you want to speak to me, sir?
Look, Mr. Tewksbury, you know who I am. My name is...
Don't tell me, sir. I never forget a face. Wish I could sometimes. Now, let me see. You're the young man I got off for burglary. Although you were found halfway up the drainpipe.
Mr. Tewksbury, I've never been halfway up a drainpipe.
The whole way, then. Don't let squibble, sir. Well, you reached the top, sir. You were upstairs and in my lady's chamber.
I beg your pardon.
Boudoir. Boudoir, if you prefer, sir.
I don't.
We'll call and talk to you, will, sir. How do you account for being in the boudoir of a lady you did not know if you hadn't at least evil thoughts?
But I've already told you.
I know what you told me, but it's much better to tell the truth, sir. It will come out in court. It's quite true the lady may not have been as frightened as she claimed. But if you claim you weren't there at all, you can't challenge what she says. That's the trouble with alibis, sir. They leave you naked, like the lady.
I... Mr. Tewksbury, I have never been in a naked lady's boudoir in my life. Look, you're mixing me up with someone else.
Ah, yes, it's the sun and the colour of your hair. Put your head slightly on one side and take off your hat. Oh, that isn't a hat. I've got it, sir. You're the young man I defended in affiliation proceedings. Only last Friday, now that was a famous victory, was it not?
Mr. Tewksbury, my name is Roger Thursby.
What of it, sir? I think of my clients by their faces, not their names.
Look, I'm not a client. I'm a member of the bar, and you once briefed me.
Briefed you, did I, sir? Did we win?
Look, I appeared for you yourself, Mr. Tewksbury.
You're not suggesting that I was halfway up a drain pan?
No!
Nor in a lady's boudoir?
No!
Well, sir, you will never see me in a lady's boudoir. Because the door would be locked and the blinds drawn. Well, this meeting is really most opportune, sir. Do you happen to be on your way to the House of Lords or the Court of Appeal at the moment?
Actually, no, not at the moment.
Would you consider appearing in a lowly magistrate's court?
Certainly, Mr. Tewksbury, if...
If the fee is high enough, I suppose you were going to say.
Well, actually, I don't deal with the fees at all. My clerk does that.
No, I know the rules, thank you, sir. Forgive me if I take a nip from my flask. My doctor insists. Ah, would you care for a pull, sir?
No, thank you, Mr. Tewksbury, no.
But you will accept the brief.
I ought to speak to my clerk first.
Away with these niceties, sir.
Well, I'm rather new and I like to keep to the rules.
Quite right, sir. I should have ceased to be a solicitor a long time ago if I'd not kept to the rules. But I've never been drunk in charge of a case. That's one of the rules, sir. Number 53A. I remember an emissary from the Law Society coming to see me once. You're always drunk, he said. You envy me, I suppose, I said. But it won't do, Mr. Tewksbury, he said. What won't do, I said. Being drunk, he said. Why not, I said. Because it gets the profession a bad name, he said. I'm never drunk in charge of a case, sir, I said. And what I do in my private life is for me and for me alone to decide. If the president of the Law Society chooses to stand on his head in his private life, who am I to complain? I don't complain, sir. Let him stand on his head, I say, as long as he doesn't do it in court. He must not stand on his head in charge of a case. You think I'm drunk now, don't you, sir?
Well...
And don't be mealy-mouthed, sir. Say it. Quite frankly, I liked the bottle, and why shouldn't I? But I'm not charged with being drunk, sir, so what's that got to do with it, I ask? There's no offence of being drunk anyway. You've got to be something else as well, or in charge of something. What I don't know about offences connected with drinking could be written in a very small book indeed, sir. Can you see any horse near me, sir?
No, Mr. Fitzgerald.
Then I can't be charged with being drunk in charge of a horse, can I? Any children, sir?
No.
Any motor car?
No.
Then what are you complaining about, sir? I'm just drunk and nothing more. I can see it by the gleam in your eyes, sir. Wondering if I'm also incapable. I must demonstrate that to you, sir. Watch. I am now going to stand up. Am I standing up, sir?
Yes.
Am I as straight as a die?
Well...
Exactly, as straight as a die. And now I am going to sit down, sir. Did I not do that very capably?
Well...
Exactly. So the offence is, as I have said, unconnected with drunkenness. Now, this is most opportune. You are going to have an immediate view of the locus in quo and the corpus... And the rem.
The rem, monsieur?
The rem, sir. Do you see that empty cigarette packet on the ground, sir?
Yes.
Don't touch it, sir.
Well, I was only going to put it in the litter basket with my feather bag.
At your peril, sir. I am the corpus, sir, and that is the rem. Shortly we'll see the whole drama of the law come into operation. I'm going to be charged, sir, with throwing that empty packet onto the ground. And you, sir, you are going to defend me. Now, the first question is, sir, did I throw it on the ground?
Did you?
A very good question, sir. And the answer is, yes, sir, I threw it down. Excuse me, my doctor insists. Now I will tell you what happened, sir. A park attendant told me to pick it up.
He told you to pick it up?
I'm not surprised you repeat the words, Mr. Morgan.
My name is Thursday, Mr. Tewksbury.
Pray don't interrupt. Does it make the slightest difference in the story I'm telling you about the park attendant, whether your name is Baldwin or Thursday?
No, I don't suppose it does.
I got to the stage where the park attendant told me to pick it up, and I ask you, sir, is this Hitler's Germany? Is it Stalin's Russia? What country are we in?
In England, Mr. Tewksbury?
Exactly. So who has the right to tell me to bend down? Possibly a considerable inconvenience. Pick something off the ground. So, I said to this park attendant, I will do no such thing. And he said, if you don't pick it up, I will summon you for throwing it down. To which I replied, I think you will say very reasonably, the wind bloweth where it listeth. So that he might not misunderstand that, I added, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Or is it 2 for 1, sir? I forget. No matter. It sent him on his way. Now, sir, will you take the brief? Don't tell me you won't be free, sir.
Well...
Thursday, the brief from Mr. Tewksbury. He says you've already accepted it.
I had no choice, Alec. I couldn't pretend I wasn't free.
No, I suppose at the time you were free.
At the time?
Well, since then, you've had two other briefs sent down.
Two?
Well, strangely enough, one is from Thornton and Merivale, and the other from Moody and Sharp.
Well, that is strange, isn't it? I don't mind so much doing Mr. Tewksbury's case now, if it's only one of three.
I'm afraid it isn't. It's one of one.
What do you mean? Why?
They're all down for hearing on the same day, at the same time, in three different courts, 20 miles apart.
Oh, Lord. But you can fix that, Alec, can't you? You can fix it. Ring up the solicitors and the clerks of the court and get the other two adjourned.
Well, in the ordinary way I could, this time no.
Why not?
Well, in one case they've already had an adjournment. In the other, there's a witness due to leave the country the same afternoon.
Well, I'll have to do one of them and turn down Tewksbury.
It's too late for that, I'm afraid. We've already accepted Mr. Tewksbury.
But this is terrible. I never wanted to take on Tewksbury's case, even when it was only the only one I had. He sort of talked me into it.
Yes, that's usually the way with him.
Look, Alec, you know all the wrinkles. There must be some way out of this.
I can't say it myself, Mr. Thursday.
Oh, the girls will be livid.
Girls?
I mean the other solicitors.
Quite. You could ask Mr. Grimes, of course. He might think of something. But I doubt it. I very much doubt it.
Can't see any way out of it, my dear Thursby. If you accepted brief number one, you'll have to refuse two and three.
But you often do more than one case at a time.
Not when they're 20 miles apart, my dear fella. Don't let it worry you, my dear Thursby. It's not at all a bad thing to refuse a brief from time to time. It makes it look as if you're in great demand.
But they know jolly well I'm not.
Who do?
Thornton and Merivale and Moody and Sharp.
Ooh. Good clients of mine, both of them.
Well, I wouldn't have minded turning one of them down for the other, but to turn them both down for Tewksbury.
Good gracious me. Has he woken up again? Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. The Tewksbury is one of the troubles we're all born to.
Grimes, I had an idea.
Yeah, that was bound to happen sooner or later.
Couldn't I refuse the brief on the grounds that he was too drunk to instruct me?
Was he?
He was pretty high.
Oh. And I suppose he stood up to show you he was not incapable.
How did you know?
We all know that one, my dear fella. He can't always do it. And then he gets charged. Did he ask you if you could see a horse near him?
Yes, he did.
Ha-ha, you got the full treatment. No, my dear fella, I'm afraid you can't turn him down on that. You know, my dear fella, I got a sneaking regard for Mr. Tewksbury. The Law Society would love to strike him off the rolls, but they can never do it because he's never
drunk in charge of a case.
You're quite right, my dear fella. And he gets his clothes off, too. Goodness, no. He'll probably get off this charge.
The one I'm defending him on?
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten that.
But what defense can there possibly be?
Oh, he'll think one up for you. Yeah. Yes, you certainly got a vintage 71 ahead of you.
You don't mean to say that stuff in his flask is an 1871 brandy?
No, not 1871, my dear fella, and not a brandy. 1471 and a battle. The Battle of Tewksbury, my dear fella. Battle we all have to fight sooner or later. Well, good luck to you, my dear fella. You do your best. He'll tell you what tale to tell, my dear fella. He'll tell you the tale.
You understand, Mr. Baldwin. All clear, sir, is it?
Yes, I think so, Mr. Tewksbury.
What are we waiting for, Mr. Thursday?
I'm sorry, sir. I was taking instructions from my client.
Then please continue your cross-examination.
Now, Mr. Grove, you've been a park attendant for some time, I understand?
That is so, sir.
In the course of your duties, have you not noticed people dropping things onto the ground from time to time?
Oh, I have, sir.
And sometimes they pick them up?
Yes, sir, but Mr. Tewksbury refused.
No, I'm not asking about Mr. Tewksbury at the moment. Now, when somebody drops something and picks it up again, what interval of time is there between the dropping and the picking up?
A few seconds, I suppose.
So there might be longer. He might not notice that he dropped anything until he'd walked on 10 or 15 yards and then he'd have to come back.
Yes, sir, that could happen.
Now, when you told Mr. Tewksbury to pick up a cigarette packet, was he sitting on the seat?
Yes, sir.
And he was sitting on the seat when he threw the packet down?
Yes, sir.
And there was a receptacle for litter only 10 yards away?
Yes, sir, there was.
If you'd been sitting where Mr. Tewksbury was sitting, could you have thrown the packet into the receptacle?
I doubt it, sir.
You saw Mr. Tewksbury throw it on the ground, and you came up to him almost immediately and told him to pick it up? Is there anything in the park regulations which entitles you to tell somebody to pick up something he's thrown down?
Not as far as I know, sir.
What is litter?
Stuff lying on the ground, sir.
And the offence consists of putting and leaving it there?
That is so, sir.
But the people you've seen drop things and then pick them up again weren't guilty of an offence?
No, because They didn't leave them there.
Now, how do you know that Mr. Tewksbury was going to leave it there? You said yourself that he couldn't have thrown it into the litter basket from where he was. How do you know that he wasn't going to pick it up and put it in the litter bin when he got up from his seat?
Well, he didn't say he was.
I see so now, sir.
Be quiet, Mr. Tewksbury.
If someone left an empty packet of cigarettes on the seat, that would be just as much an offence as leaving it on the ground, would it not?
I think so, sir.
So, if Mr. Tewksbury had put it on the seat next to him, preparatory to putting it in the basket when he got up to leave, he would be just as much guilty of leaving litter around as you say he is now?
I will deal with that case when it arises. He is not charged with leaving it on the seat. He is charged with throwing it on the ground and leaving it there.
But the point is, sir, that he mightn't have left it there.
He was told to pick it up and refused.
He didn't have to comply with that order. He's not in the army. Now, the park didn't close for some hours, and he was entitled to remain in his seat. How can you say that a man has left litter if it isn't proved that he intended to leave it when he went away from the place?
Any other questions?
No, sir.
Anything else to say?
I submit the case is not proved for the reasons I've given, sir.
I find the case proved, and you will be fined £2. If I could bet it 200, I would, and add on another 20 for the ludicrous defense which your learned counsel has raised.
Would that be entirely judicial, sir?
Be quiet, Mr. Thursday. There's no need to be impertinent, it's very irrelevant. Call the next case, please.
Say,
guys.
Yeah.
So I see.
Glass of wine.
Thank you.
Right. Jimmy, dry
white,
please.
I thought you
were coming.
I nearly didn't.
What?
After what you did. You were impertinent and irrelevant, and you put up a ludicrous defense.
Who told you that?
Mr. Grimes.
Who told him?
You did.
Did I? Oh, yes, I did, yes. When he asked about the 1471.
The what?
I thought you got an A-level in history. 1471, the Battle of Tewksbury. I was mentioned in dispatches. When did you meet Grimes, anyway?
He was still there when I rang your chambers to tell you I wouldn't be meeting you.
But you are meeting me.
Only because Mr. Grimes persuaded me to.
Did he really? I said it was very nice of him.
He said I ought to forgive you.
You're not Joy. You can't forgive me.
No, I didn't think I could. Goodbye then, Roger.
No, wait. But what I mean is I haven't done anything to be forgiven for.
For which to be forgiven?
I haven't done that either.
You refused a brief from Peter Sharp after I'd gone to endless trouble to talk him into sending it.
Look, I had to. I couldn't be in three places at once.
You had a choice of three and you deliberately chose that old soap Tewksbury.
I didn't choose. He got in first, that's all.
Alec didn't say anything about it when I rang up.
He didn't know. I met Tewksbury in the park.
You had a date with him, I suppose, to get drunk together.
Certainly not. Nothing of the sort. I was feeding the ducks.
Oh,
it's a very long story. I was playing some music and Grimes thought I had a banana case.
A what?
Hallelujah and bring back my bonnie, but it wasn't. But anyway, he told me to blow away the cobwebs and feed the ducks, and the ducks woke Tewksbury, and Tewksbury offered me a brief, and man is born of troubles, and 1471's one of them. Now do you understand?
No.
I'll start again at the beginning.
Don't you dare.
Look, at least you can see it's not my fault.
It's your fault we won't be meeting on Friday.
Sally, we must. I've had a terrible week. Don't deprive me of my Friday.
I'm sorry, but I'm dining with Peter Sharp.
You can't. You mustn't.
I must. It's the price I have to pay for the brief you wouldn't accept.
Hello, Roger, darling.
Joy, hello. Go away.
It's the price you have to pay. Mr. Grimes said you'd be here, Roger, licking your wounds. But I see you've got Sarah doing it for you.
Wrong, Joyce. I'm rubbing salt in them.
Poor darling, Roger, never mind. I forgive you.
Oh, no, not that. It's too much.
I agree. Far too much. Good night. Have a happy evening together, forgiving and forgetting.
But Sarah, don't go.
She's gone. And I must go, too, in a minute.
Well, you're just arrived.
That's right, darling. Just to tell you, I forgive you, and I'll see you on Friday.
Friday, right. No, impossible.
Don't pretend you're meeting Sally after what she just said. You must come, darling. I'm longing to show you my room.
Your room?
Yes, I've had it done up, and I've got new curtains.
Joy, you don't mean your boudoir.
If you like. What an awful word.
Yes, absolutely agree.
Then why use it?
It's a long story.
Then say it until we meet, darling. I must go now. I've got to work on Uncle Alfred. He's a tiny bit vexed at you refusing that brief after I told him how much you needed one.
It wasn't my fault.
Of course. That's what I'll say.
But you don't know what happened.
Never mind, darling. I'll tell him the tale.
Tell him it was a 1471.
A what?
A Tewksbury. He'll understand. Oh, my God. Here he comes again.
My uncle?
No, Tewksbury.
What a squalid-looking old man. You do have funny friends. Goodbye, darling. See you on Friday.
No, I can't. Impossible.
I don't know the meaning of the words, sir. Ah, Sue, Mr. Baldwin. I found you already. Do you know, sir, this is only the 12th establishment I have visited in my search.
Now, what do you want?
Very civil of you, sir. I'll take a little whiskey with you. Just a small one, I think. A treble will do nicely.
Oh, just a treble?
Well, if you insist, double it.
Now, look here, Mr. Dukesbury.
I'm looking, sir, at the man who put up a magnificent defense.
Is that what you call it?
Weighing my words as carefully as I can, sir, I say that I could not have done more myself.
If I'd have done any more, the magistrate would have burst the blood vessel.
I hope you wouldn't have considered that a waste of time, sir.
A misuse of time?
I can assure you, sir, that you haven't misused your time. I have several cases which I waited to give to a promising young man. And your clerk will soon find that I'm a regular customer. As regular as I am at the Feathers. Well, I think I've had the pleasure of seeing him, sir. Already I can think of one case I would like to talk to you about. A young client of mine was found climbing up a drain pipe. Or was it a drain pipe? No matter. It was a place where you wouldn't expect anybody to be. Now, you thought up this very good defense for me, sir. What defense do you think you could raise for a young man who was up the drain pipe?
Oh, he wanted to rescue a cat.
Brilliant, sir. I think I can safely say that if he hadn't got 8 previous convictions for burglary and housebreaking, he would get off easily on that defense. Now, what about the young man in the lady's boudoir? What story have you got to tell me for him?
He was a friend of hers.
But supposing she said he wasn't.
She forgot him, as you forgot me, Mr. Tewksbury.
Better and better. Ah, thank you, Jimmy.
Look, Mr. Tewksbury.
Thank you, sir. Very civil of you. I will take another small one, then. My doctor insists.
But I don't.
And very soon, sir, I shall give myself the pleasure of calling upon your clerk in the hope that you may be free to undertake one of these keys.
Right, my dear fellow, you've fought the good fight, as we all have to, and now you've had enough, as we all have.
But he's threatening to send me another brief.
Oh, don't worry, my dear fellow. Alec will tell him the tale.
Yeah, but what tale, Grimes? He can't very well say I'm doing another case if I'm not. Oh, can he?
He can say anything, my dear fellow, but he won't. First, he'll put up your fees. Then he'll ask for a check with the brief. Then Mr. Tewksbury will profess himself indignant, and then he'll walk away.
But he may forget to be indignant and walk back. He forgot me. He mistook me for a client of his who climbed a drainpipe.
Well, he mistook me for a judge. But don't you worry, my dear fellow. I've had a word with Alec already. You won't be seeing Mr. Tewksbury anymore.
What? I could hardly believe it. Thank you, Grant. I'm most terribly grateful.
Not at all, my dear fellow. Off you go. Tell the tale to someone else. Or sing him the song.
I will. Thank you very much, Grant. Hallelujah, Banana.
Oh, Mr. Baldwin.
Oh, no.
How lucky I am that you, sir. Your clerk has just been saying that you can't do a case for me on Friday. That can't be right, Mr. Thursday.
Mr. Chisbury, believe it or not, on Friday, I shall be in a lady's boudoir.
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Alec, Blake Butler, Tewksbury, James Hayter. Everyone else, Gerard Green and John Ruddock. 1471 was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by David Hatch.